Good morning, everybody. It's so nice to be back in person at Krishna House. It's been a long time since I've actually given class in person at Krishna House, so it feels like a real honor to be in your physical presence. And I'm curious, who here is here for the first time this semester at Krishna House? Okay, so about six of you. Great, okay. My name is Shyamala Kishori Dasi, and I had the pleasure of living at Krishna House several years ago for a few years, and it was one of the highlights of my life. Definitely really transformed my experience, so I hope that you all have such a wonderful time too. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 17. And we're just going to begin with the invocation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. We can say it together.
Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Nashta Praesha Vatvishu. Vidyapa Sevaya.
So today's verse is, again, text 17, and there's a little, Krishna magic moments? They're the moments that Yamuna Devi coined this term, Krishna magic. It's when things sync up in a transcendental way. So today, I just want to back up a little and see, I want to do a little exercise here. So I'm going to give you a date, and then I want you to say what comes to mind immediately. Okay, so December 25, January 1st, July 4, October 31st, September 17. So today is September 17, and today is a very historic day for us in ISKCON history. It's the day that Srila Prabhupada arrived in 1965 in the Commonwealth Pier in Boston Harbor. So it was his first encounter in America. And although we do follow a lunar calendar, so you'll notice that this day is listed on our calendar, I believe on the 26th of this month. There's something really special about knowing this day. And I think because we're all members of ISKCON, it's important for us to know that day just as quickly as we know December 25 or January 1st, right? July 4th, right? So if someone says, when did Prabhupada arrive?
September
17th. What year?
65.
And what time? Anybody know? Was it morning or night? Morning, yeah. So it was actually at 5:30 in the morning. So he actually arrived a little before the sunrise. And the reason I'm sharing this is that this verse, when he was there in the harbor, he wrote a song in Bengali. And he mentions this Bhagavatam verse in that song. So it felt like Krishna magic, because here we are on this day that Prabhupada arrived in America. And on the boat in the Boston Harbor, he's writing a song in which he mentions this Bhagavatam verse, along with the other five after it. So he mentions several in his song. So in that mood, we're going to look at this verse from the perspective of through that lens of Srila Prabhupada arriving in America, and also the Sankirtan movement, and how we can be part of that also. So that's the lens through which we're going to look at this verse today. So since a lot of us are familiar with this verse, I was thinking we can sing it all together. Shrinvatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana
Vidyantasto Vyabhadrani Vidunoti Surisatam.
Srinvatam, those who have developed the urge to hear the message. Svakata, his own words. Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Upunya, virtues. Shravana, hearing. Kirtana, chanting. Vidyantasta, within one's heart. He, certainly. Abhadrani, desire to enjoy Maga. Vidhunoti, cleanses. Surit, benefactor. Satam, of the truthful. Translation. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Yeah, we can say it together also. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Messages of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna are non-different from him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. And here I'd like to just put in a little asterisk, so to speak, that you can substitute that for whoever you're sexually attracted to. So this is written from the context of perspective of men. But so any person that would be of agitation and wealth are very difficult problems. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Uminitamina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So remember that Prabhupada wrote this purport while he was back in India, before he actually got on the Jaladuta. And he had with him on that ship a trunk full of books of the first, how many volumes? The first three volumes, yeah. So he had those already, he had written those and brought them with him. So I would like to, again, do something in connection to Prabhupada's arrival. I would like to request all of you to just close your eyes Just get comfortable in your seat for a moment. Take a breath in and out. And take another deep breath in, just grounding yourself here in this moment. And exhaling out anything that's distracting you. And one more time, another inhale. And exhaling. And so I'd like you to imagine in your mind's eye, it's September 17, 1965. Imagine that you are able to picture the scene of this Jaladutta ship entering the harbor in Boston, the Commonwealth Pier. It's 5:30 in the morning, probably around 60 degrees. Perhaps there's some wind. And it's dark because it hasn't reached sunrise yet. And you can see, now picturing Srila Prabhupada there on the ship, imagining your favorite image of Srila Prabhupada, just picturing him standing there. This is his first experience of entering America. Imagine as the sun rises that he, and this is described in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, that Prabhupada is starting to see the ships in the harbor as the sun rises, and a conglomeration of lobster stands and drab buildings in the gray waterfront, rising in the distance, the Boston skyline. And the first thing that he sees are the letters A and P painted on a pierfront warehouse. So it's quite a drab scene. He's entering USA. And they're just stopping here temporarily so that he can get his immigration and customs visa. And just picture him standing there. He's wearing his simple dhoti, wool chadar, and he has on white rubber slippers. And with him in his possessions, all he owns is a small suitcase and a little umbrella and some dry cereal that he brought back from India, and about $7 worth of American money at the time. Later that morning, he goes with Captain Pandya to the U.S. Immigration and Customs in Boston, where he gets his visa for 3 months. And Captain Pandya invites him. So in your mind, just picture the scene. He invites Prabhupada to go for a walk through Boston, across a footbridge into a busy commercial area with old churches and warehouses, office buildings and bars, bookshops and nightclubs. Prabhupada briefly observes the city. And then when they return to the ship, he enters again into his small little room there on the ship. And he takes out his pen and paper and he coins a beautiful song to Lord Krishna. And I'd like you to continue to close your eyes and hear these words of Srila Prabhupada, imagining what that would have been like for him to arrive in a foreign country with no possessions materially except for his strong faith in his spiritual master and his urgent desire to satisfy that mission of his spiritual master by sharing Krishna consciousness. So in his book, in his notebook, he writes down, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place?" And keep in mind, he was just walking in Boston. "Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. And therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? Oh Lord, I'm simply praying for your mercy so I will be able to convince them about your message. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. O spiritual master of the world, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. Oh Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, oh Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta. And now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, on September 18th. He did this the day after, 1965. So feel free to, again, open your eyes. And welcome back to the room. I hope that that was, I'm curious what that experience was like. Were you able to picture it a little bit more, what that would have been like for him to arrive in America? So with that in mind, and I mentioned that verse, he actually quotes several other verses, so I didn't read them all. I just, this is a long song. I just read a few little stanzas from it, but he wrote a really long song. And it's the first, it's called Markine Bhagavad Dharma. So if you want, you can read it later today. So fast forward to 1972, Prabhupada is giving a lecture in Vrindavan on the same verse. And I listened to this to prepare for this class. So in that discussion, so he's in Vrindavan, and many times when Prabhupada was in India, he would take transcendental pride in his disciples. Like, look at these boys and girls from America, from Europe, his dancing white elephants, he would call them. And he says in that class that he quotes this verse, so he's speaking on this verse, and he says, the Krishna consciousness movement means we're giving everyone a chance to hear about Krishna. Srinvata Svakata Krishna. Just give them a chance to hear about Krishna. I have not bribed all these American boys and girls to be Krishna conscious. I had no money, only $7. Yet they became attracted. I was reading Bhagavad Gita in the store and chanting in the park. And they came. And then he gestures. As you see, the samples here. These boys and girls have become so attached to Krishna that they have given up all their nonsense. They're abhadrani. So remember, we read that word, abhadrani, in the verse. And it literally is translated here as desire to enjoy matter. So he's saying they've given up their abhadrani. And then he translates it here as illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. These are the four pillars of abhadrani. That's what he says in this class. As soon as Krishna sees this living entity is now sincere to hear about me, he helps. Simply try to hear about Krishna. So, and he mentions in that class that he went to the Philippines, where he said he was amazed to see that even though they eat dogs there, he said that they had a program that one of his disciples organized in a hotel, and all these young people came. And he was, Prabhupada was commenting that they had such an interest in Krishna. Simply by hearing about Krishna, they were attracted and they started buying books. And so he referenced that experience of, and also he said that in the West, he's having more positive experience than in India, he said. Even in England, you can tell he's speaking with so much pride for his disciples, like in a transcendental way, that they're really taking advantage of their life, right? So they're in England, they're even getting captured by the police and put in jail for doing Harinam and Sankirtan. So, and he said, but no worries, that they're just chanting in jail. So if you think of this as like a time capsule, so what we just did is we pictured Prabhupada when he was arriving, right? And at that time, so even though he's a pure devotee, he's not omniscient. Only Krishna is omniscient, knows the future, past, everything, right? So here is Prabhupada sincerely wondering what's going to happen. And he's bringing his Bhagavatams and he's hoping he can reach the people. And then fast forwarding to this lecture where he's still speaking on the same verse and he's like pointing to his disciples. Here's a sampling of the people that were changed. So it's special to think of it from each side. Like when Prabhupada arrived, no one was there to, there was no fanfare. There was no like, wow, this is amazing, because nobody knew what he was going to accomplish. But it would be incredible if one day September 17 was like well known in the world as well as all these other holidays, right? Like how special that is. So I'd like to touch on that phrase, give everyone a chance. So Prabhupada said in this, in that lecture, that Krishna conscious movement means to give everyone a chance. So what do you think of when I say that? What is that? What comes to mind when I say give you a chance? Give peace a chance, yeah. Uh-huh.
Spread the message so worldwide that everyone like has the chance to hear it. Mm-hmm. Make it widespread available.
Okay. Okay, Jagan Madai pastime. Yeah. The phrase itself, what do you think of when I say give everyone a chance? Like just that phrase. Yes.
Not discriminate.
Okay, yeah. Not discriminate. So where I'm going with this is that term itself, it's different when it's applied to material things than spiritual things. So if I'm going to a remote village somewhere and I want to give all these children a chance to get educated, so I bring in with me like several boxes of iPads, like I'm going to give them a chance to really do, you know, get to one day to go to college. I'm going to give them a chance. So if you think about from a material perspective, the iPad that I'm giving those children is giving them a chance, but it's not, it's a means to an end, but it's not the means in itself, right? So I'm giving them a chance. They can take the iPad. They can do whatever they want, and they can maybe get there. And it's a material goal, right? Getting material educated. So that's one thing. But in this Bhagavatam verse, and when devotees saying give everyone a chance, it's a little different. So when we look at this verse, it says here, the messages are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted, right? So they are the means in themselves. It's not just like, oh, we're giving them a chance and, you know, well, they came across it and they put it aside. So, oh, well, I guess they didn't take it and they missed out. Just by hearing even one verse or even just hearing one name of Krishna has already done something more powerful than anything in this material world. So that phrase itself is interesting because when it's applied to Krishna consciousness, it's, of course, the living entities have free will. And at the same time, by bringing Krishna into any situation, we've already transformed that experience. So it's already the means in itself, and as well as the goal and how to get to the goal, right? So that's an interesting phrase, and I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it kind of implies mercy. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a Rath Yatra in Australia, and it appeared they were never going to get permission, and then the devotee said, "So how about give her a go?" And somehow that resonated with the Australians, and they said, "All right, so just giving it a chance,
give her a go." Yes, Prabhupada, for you.
I was thinking when you gave the example of someone going to a remote village and trying to give children a chance at education, that would imply creating facilities, opening a school, getting books, getting teachers, making it all accessible for them. So, yeah, what it means to give people a chance, like, is establishing places like Krishna Hospital.
Yeah.
A chance, because otherwise, without shelter, without association, what chance would people have amidst the material energy?
Yeah, so creating places and points of opportunity for those souls.
I was talking with a devotee, and we were he was saying how Prabhupada said that he's saying it to his disciples. He's saying, "You all think too much." He said, "I just see and I act." And we're reflecting that's what Prabhupada did. He just saw and he gave it a try. at different stages of his life. He tried so many things, and yeah, he just gave it a chance. He gave everything and everybody a chance. And yeah, he would just see an act, and things might work. Things worked, some things worked, some things didn't work, but he just, you know, take it. No, he just took it as he went. So he just gave everybody a chance.
Again and again, and in different ways. And he wrote in a letter, actually, that innovation, he wanted his disciples to be innovative and to come up with different ways to give people a chance, right? So ways that would be the most beneficial. And he wrote to Kurandar in a letter, 1970, that we should tax our brains. What is the best way to present Krishna consciousness at a particular time and place, right? To increase that chance. That so there is, it's to me, it's kind of humorous, because chance implies like a randomness maybe, but in Krishna consciousness, there is no uncertainty. That's what the point I was trying to make, is that when you do come in contact with Krishna, you're certain to reach the end. And it might take long, it might take short, depending on the person's willingness. Yes.
I'm glad that you brought up the different versions of chances, because like the example of the iPad, if you take it to a village full of starving children, they would just look at you crazy, like, well, I can't eat this. How is this going to benefit me? You know, so it's beautiful how Krishna gives different versions for every person. It's very unique. It is really tailored to each situation. So a fellow devotee, their chance might have appeared in a certain way that resonates with them, but would have definitely not resonated with myself. But Krishna knows that, and he's in complete control. And so it's a very interesting experience.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yes. Yeah. It's like we're promised something so wonderful, and at the same time, we get to feast right now. It's not just down the road. It's right now, here, today, we get to experience Krishna consciousness and the results of it. You know, when Mahatma Prabhu came on Radhastami Monday, somebody asked the question, I think it was online question, how to get Srimati Radharani's mercy. And do you remember what he said?
Show up.
Show up, right? He said, just show up. And it was so simple that we kind of chuckled, because it was such a simple thing. But if you think about the mood of the Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, it comes from the mood of Srimati Radharani and her friends, of that mood of no restriction, no limitation, anybody can join, and we want more and more people to serve Krishna, because Krishna is so deserving of being served. Every day Krishna is deserving even more of service, and we want more devotees to join in and help make this amazing. So that kind of unstoppable, lawless, like, we're just gonna, like, you hear about it in the pastime, in the Krishna book, where Krishna's playing his flute and all the gopis come running, and they just forget things. They are like, oh, they're cooking, oh well, half makeup, you know, like run, like their baby just put. And that mood of Krishna's all that matters, nothing else, right? And then just running, that's the same intense mood that's in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, of doesn't matter what your qualifications are, just here, take Krishna, take Krishna, take Krishna. And it's different from the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, first surrender to me, then I'll reward you accordingly. The Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is like, well, it doesn't really matter. Even if you're not interested, we're going to find a way to get you interested through prasadam, through whatever thing that you attracts you externally till you come, right? So because we so much want you to experience the joy and want you to join in and serve Krishna and to realize that's the perfection of life. So what I wanted to brainstorm a little with you guys is this. When Prabhupada's talking about finding conducive ways to increase the chance, right? Like finding according to time, place, and circumstance. So we're, especially on today, this day of Prabhupada's arrival in America, we can reflect on what's going to be my contribution to help. So he took this journey, 35-day long journey, and had two heart attacks, and came to a foreign country with, you know, like all the struggles to get this movement started, especially in that first year. We can reflect on that and think, okay, what, like, how much mercy I've received from that journey that he took, and what could I do? So in that spirit, I'd like to talk about strategy, like how do we plug into this and share the joy. Like from this verse here, it says that these Krishna cleanses everything from your heart when you hear these messages. So in the mood of the Sankirtan movement, we want to share that with others. Like, wow, this is so incredible. We've experienced this. Who here has experienced having a conversation with someone on a spiritual, like about a spiritual topic where you feel like you can go on and on and on? Like an inexhaustible, like incredible experience talking about something spiritual. And it, you can tell it switches over to spiritual when you kind of forget your body and you're like, oh, I didn't drink water for like 4 hours or whatever. And it's like that in kirtan. Maybe it comes in kirtan, you know, it can come in different ways according to what we're drawn to. But basically when Krishna is present, we feel full of enlivenment. And so we want to share that with others. So if we're thinking about the Sankirtan movement being like this really insistent, we want you to join kind of mood, and at the same time, a tactful. And why is that so? Because we're in, even though we said like, okay, once you come in contact with Krishna, it's, you're destined to get to the end eventually, right? Like once somebody reawakens their soul, then eventually Krishna will find ways to enter more and more, and then over lifetimes or over one life, eventually they'll come to Krishna. We want to speed that process up. And because, why do we want to speed that process up? Because we, even though we're all eternal beings, we don't, our lifetime in this current life, each one of us is going to be affected by time. We only have so much time in this life to help and to play a role in this. So even though there's, yes, a soul has free will and they can take lifetimes, we feel like, okay, let's not let it take lifetimes. Let's try to find ways to make Krishna consciousness so accessible and relatable that it doesn't have to take lifetimes, that people will be drawn to applying it right now. And so that's where like strategy comes in. How can we make it so the least obstacles so that people can, these souls can benefit from being in contact with Krishna and applying it right now? So that's the first thing. So why do we need strategy? The first thing is that we want to make Krishna consciousness accessible and we want to speed up that process. So let's look at it from the other perspective. Let's say, okay, anybody who hears the name of Krishna is going to get so much benefit. Let's go shout Krishna in everybody's name. Let's go down the street and let's just go like shout it right in people's ear. Just like randomly, like Hare Krishna, like just like, you know, while they're going to work or something. What do you think about that? Because that is right. You're bringing Krishna in and you're going to transform their experience. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, should we do that?
We have to share things favorably. I mean, we kind of do that on Harinam on the bars. People kind of just don't want to hear us, but we're just chanting and keep chanting and try to make them smile. But I was listening to H.G. Goswami one time say that we need to like stop, I guess, getting people these to unknowingly perform devotional service and treating them like babies. It's like, you know, you take the spoon and you give them like something that they want and then you quickly replace it with something else. So that's how you treat a baby. But people are adults. So he mentioned like, you know, allow them the choice, allow them the, present it to them like an adult, like they can understand the philosophy. Mm-hmm. Don't just give them like Krishna and like run away, giddy. I mean, that's there too, but that's important. The name is really important. But.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. So yeah. So it ties into the same idea. If we want to fan the spark of them saying, wow, I want to do this, not just like forcing it on them. And then, oh, it might be such a turnoff that they end up taking a few more lifetimes. Like, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with those people. Right. So we don't want to. So in our short lives in this playing our part, we want to make it so that there's the least obstacles as possible for other people's journeys towards Krishna. So, so basically just finding ways to have them think, wow, I really, you know, whether it's through the mind or some way that they're drawn to understanding Krishna. And that's the first reason that I came up with about that I was reflecting on why we need to strategize instead of just like, okay, let's do it. Let's just you know, go and in this kind of intense way, but let's find tactfulness, right? So that's the first reason, is to really enhance the journey of each soul and not create an obstacle. And the second reason is that when we're thinking about Krishna Katha, right? And this verse is talking about Krishna Katha. It's basically, it's already virtuous in itself. So it's already complete with it. When we're talking about Krishna, Krishna's present. And when Krishna's present, his residence is present. All his friends are present. Present. And so already we have the whole deal, right? In that when Krishna's there through his name or through his talking about him. So we want to, as instruments of Krishna, as Prabhupada said, puppets of Krishna, we want to respect the book or the name or the talks about Krishna with as much respect as we would give to Krishna himself. And so we wouldn't want to force Krishna consciousness onto someone who's not interested or who is actually turned away, right? Because that is putting Krishna in a place where he might get offended and so on. So thinking about when we're sharing Krishna consciousness, that is like we would do with our deity worship. We wouldn't just, you know, put our deity in a situation where something could happen. And you think about the pastimes of the Goswamis when the Muslims came to Vrindavan and were attacking, they actually took all the deities and hid them and protected them away from that, because the Muslims were tyrants at the time, were wanting to tear down the temples and so on. So they protected the deities. And similarly, we protect Krishna, and we want to, we want him to be received in the most positive way because he's Krishna, right? So for those two reasons, that's, we can think about how can I be a best instrument for Srila Prabhupada and for this movement. One, through helping others, their spiritual spark on their journey, to speed that up as much as possible. And of course, they're going to take the time they want to take, but we can do the best we can. And the second thing is, when we're sharing Krishna consciousness, to present it as Krishna himself with that much respect and with that much care. So for those two reasons, we come up with tactful ways like Krishna Lunch and all the programs here, like Taco Tuesday and, you know, all the wonderful things, the Friday program, and different ways to draw in the soul and to fan their desire to come closer to Krishna. So yes.
It's interesting, because in the material world, we have the saying, do unto others that you would have them do unto you. And it's kind of funny to me that doesn't really fit in Krishna consciousness, that mentality. Because, for example, a parent feeding their child, the parent might love hot sauce on all their food. But if they're feeding their child, this child would not be ready or wanting the hot. So even with that same type of fire that a devotee might have, we have to be considerate that, oh, let's start off with a gentle form of that food.
A good analogy. Yeah, I like that. Yes, Kalakantapuram.
So after you left Krishna House, you went back for a graduate degree at UF. I was just curious, with all the Krishna Lunch and all the presence of devotees, what is the attitude you perceived about Krishna consciousness when you were in school?
Actually, I remember one conversation that I think it was an intermission between, we had these long 3-hour classes, and there was like a little intermission, and the students were sitting in the room. It was a graduate level course, and somebody was saying, oh, I'm kind of hungry, maybe I'll go get Krishna lunch. And suddenly everybody's perked up, like, oh, Krishna lunch, oh, Krishna. And suddenly it was like this whole thing, like, oh, I love Krishna lunch, and I love Friday, and I love Wednesday, and like that. And you could just feel the mood was jovial and like warm towards Krishna. And I love how they drop lunch and they just say, I love Krishna. So yeah, definitely. I felt it's just so amazing actually to be in a situation where people know Krishna and they associate it with something. They perk up because we all love food. And so when you're thinking of, you know, like what you're going to have for lunch, then you get excited. And so that, I felt that was there. And just an openness to just the experience of who the Hare Krishna, just a certain respect that I sensed about.
Anything negative?
Not in my experience, no. I didn't come across, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Okay, I have a short one. I have one that's like still alive and longer.
Just, yeah, start with the short one.
Okay. The short one is I was at Sam's Club, and there was a guy working, he works in the meat department, and I needed help. And so I asked him for help, and then he was like, oh, what restaurant do you work for? And I said, Krishna Lunch, and he was like, wow, you guys are amazing. Like, he said, we touch people's hearts. Like, you can really feel that. Some random guy working in the meat department. And then the other story, Prabhupada Priya was here for that one, is this homeless guy came up to Krishna and she wanted to trade in a blue ticket somebody gave him for money. And we said, we can't do that. And he started cussing us out, basically saying, like, he wanted us dead and, like, all of this stuff. And then he started mocking us. He started saying, like, oh, you guys go out on the street and you're like, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And I was like, you're saying it wrong. And so me and Prabhupada Priya showed him how to say it. And we went word for word. And he said it word for word. And by the end of it, we were like, do it one more time. Try it by yourself. And so he did it. And by the end of it, he was smiling. He was so perked up. And he left, like, laughing. It was beautiful.
There's so many stories like that. It reminds me of one my dad said where they had, way back in Detroit, they had a Harinam. I think it was a Harinam party, and there was this Salvation Army man who was really inimical, like who would spit at the devotees and call them names and, you know, like that. And he had his bell and his, you know, pot. And they would go there, that spot for a while, and then they stopped going there for a few years, and then they came back like years later. And that man came running up to them and said, where have you been? I've missed you so much. And he was like, I guess over the years had been transformed just by that. So, yeah.
Yeah. On that topic of strategy, I guess, I was thinking once I had a dream of Srila Prabhupada, and I asked him in the dream, what's the best way to preach at programs? And he said, you have to do something so that they get an experience. Mm-hmm. So I always think, like, yeah, anything we do, whatever it is, kirtan, talk, whatever, it has to be such that it's geared towards, like, if we all, or whatever it is, whatever books or Harinam, and it always has to be such a way. So we try to put some emphasis into how this person can get a really nice experience and really focus on them. And versus being self-conscious or just thinking about ourselves or how hungry we are, whatever.
Right.
Just focus on the guests or the other people, like, and really make an effort for them to have a really nice experience. Because, yeah, as you said, like, even if they might not become devotee tomorrow or something, but that experience will remain for years, which we hear, like, so many people, like, those experiences remain for years.
Yeah, the experience and the impression that's left with them from that experience. Actually, it's like that in raising children in Krishna consciousness as well, that every soul has their own free will to choose or not, right? And, you know, we've seen it. Some families, the children stay involved and some don't. And it's that idea of giving them an experience when they're young and hopefully leaving them with a good impression. And so if they go through a time where they're maybe distant, later down the road, they'll have that experience. It'll never be gone. And they'll maybe come back later. So
when we met this guy who worked for the governor of Florida, and he was like, yeah, he's in the law department. He was like, I used to eat Krishna lunch when I was a student. So there's so many people, like, you just don't even know how many people you're touching.
Yeah, with fondness, they remember it. Let's do one more here. So, yeah.
So I just only wanted to share an experience also. With my sister, we were preaching a little bit in Ecuador last year. So we started a preaching program every week. And a lot of people started coming, and it was really nice. And there was one girl that at the beginning, she was very enthusiastic. She stopped doing drugs. She stopped taking alcohol. She stopped a lot of really bad habits. And she was very happy and very enthusiastic for some time. But then it happens that you start losing friends. You start being a little bit distant of your family because they don't understand you anymore a little bit. So after some time, she said, like, probably my life wasn't perfect, but it was better than it's now, because right now it's everything upside down. Like, I lost my friends, my family doesn't understand me anymore. So she said, like, I don't know if you helped me or just made my life harder. And she just left and never came back. So I was thinking, is it possible that there's people that doesn't need Krishna? Like, is it possible to live a more balanced life without it or not?
Would you like to address that?
The Srimad Bhagavatam addresses this and says that once you have had a taste of spiritual life, it is very difficult to full-heartedly enjoy the previous life that you had. So we may try to go back, but you've more or less been ruined.
You've been infected by that.
Yeah, it specifically says you can only imitate the activities of the fruitive workers. And no longer full-heartedly put our faith in that, yeah, this is going to make me happy. So it's sad, but that's the reality. Spiritual life, it means that friends and family may become estranged because they don't understand what motivates a devotee. Did you ever hear from that girl again? She's probably chanting somewhere.
All right, well, we'll end here. Thank you so much, everybody, for participating. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.